Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality. But we know many families are hurting. Many, many are hurting today. And our entire country hurts with them. Because it's been all over the country. We've seen so many crises. But in Florida today is the epicenter. We're continuing to see deadly rainfall, catastrophic storm surges, roads and homes flooded.
We have received a major disaster declaration for 9 counties, but we do expect more. I just spoke with the president this morning. He offered support. I told him the thanks for this, but because the storm has moved inland and caused a lot of potential damage in the center part of our state, that we are going to be asking for those counties to be expanded and included there.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. This is the pre-Ian edition of the program. Governor Roy Cooper is speaking and giving an update as we speak. Our microphones are there. Let's listen to the governor.
And if you haven't already, it's time to make sure that your family is prepared. It's a good idea to have multiple ways to receive emergency information, like a battery-powered radio or a cell phone, so you can receive storm weather watches and warnings. Need to gather emergency supplies like non-perishable food, water, and flashlights in case you lose power. If you already have an emergency kit, now it's a good time to check for the batteries and refresh your supplies. If you don't have an emergency kit, the ReadyNC.gov, that's ReadyNC.gov website, will tell you how to assemble it. Also, it's good to plan to have a place to go if you have to leave your home. Most important, don't drive through water on the roads. Many people have died in past storms when their vehicles were caught in floodwaters. We're seeing people right now being rescued from cars in Florida. Don't take the chance. If a road is flooded, turn around, find a different route. If you can't see the pavement beneath the water, then there's likely a problem. Yesterday, I declared a state of emergency to help us prepare and respond to this storm. This activates the state's emergency operation plan. It eases rules to help with the transport of fuel and critical supplies, including crops and livestock, and it protects consumers from price gouging. It also allows us to seek federal assistance and reimbursement if that becomes necessary. I've also activated 80 members of the North Carolina National Guard to help with storm response. Some of these men and women will be equipped with high clearance vehicles to move people and resources safely in flooded areas. Our State Emergency Operations Center, where we are now, has been activated and staffed with people across state government, nonprofits, and the private sector, making sure that we have the resources to help our communities if they need it. Today we have with us Emergency Management Director Will Ray, Public Safety Secretary Eddie Buffalo, Transportation Secretary Eric Boyette, Colonel Freddie Johnson, the Commander of the North Carolina State Highway Patrol, and Major General Todd Hunt, the Adjutant General of the North Carolina National Guard. Our sign language interpreters are Nicole Fox and Monica McKee. And behind the scenes, Jackie Mativier.
All right, we are going to bump out of this. We will continue to monitor and get you all the information that will be coming our way regarding preparations here in North Carolina for Hurricane Ian. I'm noting, driving into work this afternoon, a lot of Florida plates going north on 77. Obviously, you've got folks that are either heading to shelter someplace, or they're heading to their other home or something like that. Want folks to be very careful as they're driving around out there. You got the wind picking up a little bit, and this is going to be a time to really kind of keep your head on a swivel and look at all this. But the question for you is this: your level of concern, your level of fear, your level of consternation about this this impending hurricane or tropical storm. I think it'll be by the time it gets here. I don't know that it'll still be a hurricane, but nevertheless, I mean, you're going to have damage. You're going to have winds. You're going to have rain and all of that. And, you know, it's a time where people sort of try to come together and work together and do all that stuff. It's why, you know, it's a period of time where you don't really look for the partisanship. But we are going to certainly look at a number of different stories that are out there moving on this day. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and the president of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., they have exchanged phone calls and they're working. The damage absolutely striking down in southwest Florida, especially down in Lee County, where you know, it's believed that hundreds of people may have lost their lives down there. It is an incredibly massive damage line that's run on that southwestern portion of South Florida. And it's so interesting and curious to see when you look at that damage field, the way that damage has been done, to know that just across that peninsula, just across the state, there in South Beach and Miami and that area, you know, they didn't really take a hit. But this is tracking to be heading up, you know, the coastline, getting back out over the Atlantic. It's been wailing on St. Augustine for a bit. And now it starts to move back up over the Atlantic, and it's expected to make another landfall once it gets out to over the water for a bit, and then head to Savannah, Charleston, all the way up to Myrtle Beach. That's sort of the area of concern. Then it'll begin to move straight on in towards us here in Charlotte. And you know, you have time to still prepare and get your stuff together and, you know, really just kind of keep an eye on what it is you can do to secure your homes, your property, all that sort of stuff. And we're all in this together, and we're going to be giving you the best information that we have coming our way. We want to invite you to be a part of the conversation at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You heard at the beginning of the program, we played our little montage. Really, it was almost all storm-related, but for the reference to the now-deceased Congresswoman Warwicki, who had passed away in August, and the president was trying to salute her yesterday at a Hunger event. We'll get all that. Plus, we got the coach, Matt Doherty, coming by beginning at 4 o'clock, 704-570-1110. Boomer's going to be the man in the control seat here for the traffic situation. And I try to admonish those Florida drivers, man. You want to slow down?
Slow down. Come on now.
You know, it can't be racing. You know, don't tell me you're racing in New York City. I mean, what are you doing? I'd be driving as slow as I had to.
Just because you're here in NASCAR country, don't think you are one.
That's it. Get up on that track.
That's right. Get up on that track. That's it.
How we doing out there, Boom?
Yes, sir.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show, 704-570-1110. So just checking in with some of the information that's come out in the wake of this terrible hurricane that has hit Florida predominantly, obviously, at this point. This morning, Governor Ron DeSantis issued updates on Hurricane Ian at the State Emergency Operations Center. Since 1 a.m., search and rescue operations are underway in response to Hurricane Ian. Urban Search and Rescue Team 2 was the first on site, and the Coast Guard has made dozens of rescues overnight. There are 8 USAR teams, more than 800 team members that are performing search and rescue. 42,000 linemen are participating in the state of Florida to bring power back online, and more than 2 million reported power outages. So there is a deep coordination going on between Ron DeSantis and the government there and the state of Florida and the White House, as well as FEMA and the other supporting organizations as well. But down in southwest Florida, you know, in Fort Myers, you've got some homes that are under feet and feet and feet of water. This has been an absolutely shocking state of affairs. With the magnitude of this thing coming in, as we mentioned earlier, we started the program with Governor Roy Cooper, you know, asserting and letting us know that emergency efforts are already underway, preparing for what will likely be a tropical storm coming up this way towards Charlotte and beyond. It's going to be a lot of rain and wind, and it's going to be something you're going to want to be very much aware of. I want to take this call, though, from David. David, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Mainly, I need some help, and I know you've got a lot of listeners. I have a very close friend and went to church with him for years, and he and his wife moved to North Fort Myers, Florida. Mm-hmm. Well, she has developed dementia, and so she's in a facility down there, so mm-hmm. she really can't leave.
Right.
And so he decided, rather than evacuate, he decided to stay there. They're both in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, his house is a one-story house. It was only about 50 feet from a canal there in North Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. I talked with him Tuesday night after supper, and he said, well, I've done everything I can. I'm just going to kind of hunker down. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll call you tomorrow, meaning Wednesday.
Yep.
Well, you know, I didn't hear from him Wednesday, and I sent several text messages. And then I've tried a couple times today. You know, if any of your listeners, I tried calling the Red Cross, and that was a disaster. Mm-hmm. You know, if any of your listeners have any ideas on how, if there's some sort of a central clearinghouse or whatever for who survived and who didn't and who's in a shelter, you know, if they have some ideas, I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay.
To your radio show. I don't have a smartphone.
Gotcha.
I'm just talking to you on just a regular old flip phone.
Sure.
I've got a little age on me myself, so.
Sure. What I can discern from watching the coverage of this for the last couple of days, there have been, you know, substantial amounts of damage with cell towers, electricity, that sort of stuff. And today is really the first day that they've had the opportunities to get out there and start finding folks.
I'm sure there's still water everywhere.
I'm sure.
The towers are all down.
Do you perchance know the name of the facility that his wife is in or where she's staying? Or, you know, that I only ask that because you might be able to work in reverse if they've got phones that are
right.
working and all that. You know, I know, like, I would be inclined to say American Red Cross, but I imagine they're getting, you know, a billion calls and they may not have that information. But if you'd like, here's what I'll do. I'm going to put you on hold and Tommy can take your phone number. And if somebody is able to offer us up advice either on the air or off the air, we can maybe put you guys together. But
okay,
this is
I'd like that.
So I'll put you on hold. Tommy, you can get your number. We'll be praying and thinking about your friends there and wish them absolutely well as we can, my friend. I appreciate you being out there.
Thanks. You guys are awesome. I listen to you every afternoon.
Thank you, David. Thank you for being there, and we'll certainly keep an eye on this. Tommy will grab David's number on line one to see if we, you know, if we do get some information that we can put out there. But, you know, in these earliest days of rescue, search and rescue, all that sort of stuff, you know, this is going to be a long, long process. We remember very well. You know, you remember Hugo here. You remember Katrina. You remember all those efforts that are underway. One of the things that I was reading about, and I heard some reporting on this as well. They're saying it's going to take at least two high tide cycles, for this water to start draining out of these areas where it's been pushed inland. I mean, you've got in some cases surge that's been pushed in 15 miles. It's an unbelievable amount of damage and destruction that has taken place here, and we'll monitor all of this. But this is going to be a very much a long-term project to try to get to these folks who need this help the most and to be recovered as well. 704-570-1110 News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Anna Erickson's got the update. Live and in color, This is the Brett Winterble Show. Do not adjust your set. You don't have to, because we're on the radio. 704-570-1110. It's great to be here with you. And it's important, especially in times like these, that we really kind of count our blessings in so many ways. And here's what I want to say about this, and I think it's important. We'll get into the bare knuckle brawling and all that stuff here in a second. But think about the luck that you have and that I have, I mean, that we all have, living in the United States of America today with the technology, with the resources, with the ability to marshal our efforts and do the right things, helping people in distress. But pull out, right? So pull out on that lens and look at the country right now. We have a devastating hurricane that has hit Puerto Rico, Cuba, Florida, and is making its way up the coast. You have all of these challenges in our country, and yet 3,000 miles away, over on the West Coast, life goes on. College football will be played around this country. NFL games will be played around this country. I only say this as a way of personifying the incredible depth and resources we have in this country, even in times of disaster. There are places on the planet that would have a storm like this, and they would be laid out for 6 months, 8 months, 2 years. But we have technology, we have expertise, we have resilience in many ways. And this is what bothers me so much about people that want to run the United States of America down. And those are typically overpaid, unqualified college professors that do this kind of thing, where they run America down, that we're a terrible place. We don't have to turn to the Russians, and we don't have to turn to the Iranians, and we don't have to turn to Mexico, and we don't have to turn to pick a country around the world to get us out of these jams. We get ourselves out of these jams. And we're also the same people that rush to the scenes of immense catastrophe and tragedy around the world. See, whenever I see people running the United States of America down, whenever I see people talking about how, well, we're not so good, we're nothing special, we're nothing but imperialists, we're nothing but a bunch of racists, we're nothing but a bunch of all that, you can say all that all you want, but what you have to understand and what you have to acknowledge is we are a force for good. And despite the challenges we're facing right now, we also are able to still administer aid and comfort to people around the world. You could have been born in any place in any time. You tell me that you would want to be born in a different time, in a different place in this world. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We will get through all of this. It's going to take work, but we will get through all of this. We'll be better on the other side of all of this. And I think it's important to sort of count our blessings in this regard. One other thing, and I'm going to say this very specifically to the people that have run down the, quote, semi-fascist, MAGA, ultra-MAGA people, okay? You got a lot of people in the state of Florida who voted in a way that the president of the United States doesn't like. You got a lot of people in Georgia and South Carolina who voted in a way the president didn't like, and into North Carolina as well. These are fine people. These are good people. These are people who care about their neighbors. These are people who care about helping to restore communities when they get knocked on their rear ends. These are charitable people. These are giving people. These are kind people. And I think this is a good opportunity for this president and this administration to knock off the 74 million semi-fascist blah, 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 because that doesn't advance anything but show the flintiness of that administration in D.C. That would be my advice. This is a natural break point where you guys can settle down, they can settle down, and we can get focused on what really does matter. We've got elections here in 40 days. It'll be settled at the ballot box. But at that time, you're still going to be having massive cleanups taking place as a result of the storm damage from Hurricane Ian. And I would hope that in that interim period, people will start counting a lot more of their blessings than they do count their grudges. Because but for the grace of God, any one of us can end up in that situation. And when your neighbor comes and knocks on your door for help, or you go knock on your neighbor's door for help, all that matters is that you need help or they need help. It's not so much how you voted, what sign you got in your yard, what flag you're flying over your house. It's about being Americans and pulling together. There's a rooting interest in this world today that wants us to be at each other's throats. That rooting interest predominantly is big tech and big media. But what this all comes down to is the granular nature of relationships, the people you go to the supermarket with, the people at your community meetups, your people that you see at church, at the ball fields, at the voting booth, and those sorts of things. Those are the people that really matter most. Remember, government is essentially a power of force and access to assets, predominantly money. But that's the important lesson that we're dealing with here, folks. We've got to understand that it's about us. U.S. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. I mean, Boomer Von Ken, I see all kinds of things going on the roads out there. You see all kinds of things going on the roads out there?
Like the Cisco kid.
Have you seen him driving around?
Yes, eating salted peanuts out of the can.
Was he a friend of yours, Boomer?
Yes, he was.
That's it, baby. That's good driving music, isn't it, Boomer?
Yes, sir.
That's
Put it in gear.
That's not speeding music. That's slow music.
Need you a low rider now, man.
Indeed.
How high is the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. Well, we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats, 2 feet high and rising.
That's right, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
How high's the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising.
All right, we don't want it that high, that's
well,
too high.
My hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past their knees. 3 feet high and rising.
704-570-1110, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. I just, you know, I'm looking at some of the stories that are out there. Coach is going to be coming in here in a couple of minutes. There is this story. I don't know how we got to this place that we've gotten to. And I'm talking about under normal circumstances. Okay. I'm talking about normal circumstances. I'm not talking about a storm or danger like that. I'm talking about just like how we get this sort of societal drift underway where you wake up, you go to work, you think about the world that you're living in. And then suddenly you get a report of something and you go, how did that happen? 77% of young people are ineligible for military service. 77% of young people are ineligible for military service. This is a report by Thomas Novelli, writing over at Yahoo News. A new study from the Pentagon shows that 77% of young Americans would not qualify for military service without a waiver due to being overweight, using drugs, or having mental and physical health problems. A slide detailing the findings from the Pentagon's 2020 Qualified Military Available study shared with military.com, shows a 6% increase from the latest 2017 Department of Defense research that showed 71% of Americans are ineligible for service based on those sorts of things. When considering youth disqualified for one reason alone, the most prevalent disqualification rates are overweight, 11%. Drug and alcohol abuse, 8%. Medical and physical health, 7%. The study, which examined Americans between the ages of 17 and 24, read. The study was conducted by the Pentagon's Office of Personnel and Readiness. So mental health accounted for 4% of disqualifications. Aptitude, conduct, or being a dependent accounted for 1% each. Most youth, 44%, are disqualified for multiple reasons. The updated figures paint a picture of what is currently plaguing military recruiters in many of the service branches, with a shrinking pool of potential service members available to them. Major Charlie Dietz, a Department of Defense spokesperson, confirmed that the study shared with military.com was accurate and said all the services are being challenged by the current recruiting environment. Lawmakers have been raising the alarm about the recruiting environment throughout the year. Senator Tom Tillis, right here in North Carolina, the ranking member on the Senate Armed Services Committee personnel panel, said during an April 27th hearing that he was worried about widespread ineligibility of Americans will contribute to readiness problems. Quote, to put it bluntly, I'm worried we are now in the early days of a long-term threat to the all-volunteer force. There is a small and declining number of Americans who are eligible and interested in military service. He added that every single metric tracking the military recruiting environment is going in the wrong direction. Do you remember when President Obama came into office, what one of the main priorities were of that administration, obviously, after you got past the mortgage meltdowns and of course, surveilling veterans returning from the war for being extremists. Remember, it was obesity. Obesity was the big thing. Remember, you had the First Lady. She planted a vegetable garden there at the White House. She was demanding that you put lists of all the ingredients on the food at the fast food places so you knew that you shouldn't be eating any of that fast food food. Obesity, right? Remember the school lunches where they were making kids eat kale and making kids eat all kinds of stuff like that? And what were the kids doing? They were dumping the stuff in the garbage. PE has gone out the window. Physical fitness has gone out the window. And I'm not going to stand on my lawn and shake my fist angrily. I'm going to let Coach Doherty come in and give us his opinions of that. It's important to be physically fit, to not sit on your rear end for 19 hours a day looking at tablets and laptops and computers and videos. And you should be getting out there in nature and breathing and doing all that kind of stuff. You should be running. Most of us, in the days before the cell phone and computers, most of us ran every single day, almost every day, chased either to or from the bus stop by local ruffians who were waiting to get you. Remember that scene in the movie about NWA when the bad guys get on the bus and scare the living daylights out of the kids because they were doing inappropriate hand signals to people outside. The thing is, it was really, honestly, a rite of passage to get chased by the neighborhood tough guy, get on your bikes, try to get out of there, not go home till late at night. We don't have that level of physical fitness anymore. And I know a lot of it is because we've got derelicts and weirdos running through our streets, and we don't want our kids getting more than 15 feet from our front lawns. But the fact of the matter is, we got to get these kids physically fit. What are we doing? Because these kids, if they're unhealthy at 17, 18, 25 years of age, what's going to happen when they're 60? It's going to be terrible. I want to see our kids do better. I don't want to take our kids and say, listen, too bad you can't do it. And you know what's interesting? Any high school that's got a program that's like a junior ROTC program, they have got them filled to the gills. People want to be part of that sort of stuff. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves. Isolation is very 1998. At least that's my opinion. Maybe you disagree. Coach Doherty comes by next. We'll continue our coverage looking at this hurricane tropical storm that's coming our way, Hurricane Ian. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter at Winterbull Show, and you can head on over to the Facebook page at The Brett Winterbull Show. You can contact me there, and brettwinterbull.com for all of your needs. I am Brett Winterbull. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest in studio. Somebody who I don't really recognize. It's been so long. It's
my man.
Coach Matt Doherty. My man is in the house. It's been a minute.
It has. You've been, you know, shucking and jiving. I've been shucking and jiving, and it's good to be together. And even if TJ's here, I still enjoy. Whoa! Oh, he's back. I thought you went to the restroom.
It's good to have you here, Coach.
Oh, it's fun day.
I want to start with this though. I sort of laid the foundation. We did a little bricklaying here in this last segment, talking about the lack of readiness for people who are looking at maybe going into the military and how, you know, we're short on all this. You're somebody. You were an elite athlete at the highest levels of basketball. You've coached. You've seen. You've got a passion for it. You seem like a guy, as far as I know, that would go crazy if you had to sit in a chair for 18 hours a day. You want to be mobile. You want to be doing stuff. You want to feel life and all that. What are we going to do, and from your coach's perspective and your coaching perspective, for performance with people out there that you work with, what are we going to do to get these young people to understand that you can't sit in front of a laptop or a tablet for 22 hours a day? You got to get out there and move and live life and do all that. I mean, how do we get these kids fit? Fit is a fiddle.
I'd love to have an answer. I don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. I think that, it's a great, great question, and it's an important one because, you know, where we're heading, as I think you're leading us down to the military question,
yes, sir,
is not good. They're being rewarded, and you know, there used to be a peer pressure, like, you know, I don't want to be the mm-hmm. heavy kid,
right?
You know, my brother John. We got fitted for school uniforms at St. Raphael's Grammar School, and you had to go to Lobel's mm-hmm. to get the pants and the tie, and you got the green pants, and if you were seventh or eighth grader, you got gray pants.
Right.
The salesman goes up to my brother and my mom and goes, let's go to the Husky section.
No, you can't use that word. The Husky was the that was.
He still talks about that
you
today.
Can't be, Husky is. You want to be svelte. You don't want to be Husky.
So, you know, there now oh, where you're gosh. There's no like the reverse of you're not shamed. You're not. You're like glorified to That's be right. like it's okay
right.
to say I'm happy with my body and I'm 400. You know, I'm overweight,
right?
And you can't, you know, so is that good or bad? Like, there's a good and bad to everything. So now, as a result, people aren't encouraged at all to get in shape or eat right because it's okay mm-hmm. to be out of shape.
We've gotten to this place, though. 77% of these young people are basically ineligible for military service. Mm-hmm. You think about our grandfathers hitting Omaha Beach.
Oh gosh,
they had a Camel in their mouth, you know, Camel cigarette in their mouth. They had a Camel cigarette in their mouth, and they had a pint of whiskey in the
and
in
a
the tin and a Schaefer. And those guys in World War II were like the toughest people I ever knew in my life.
That's right. And they were 19, 18.
Right. And they were wiry, and they would work like 19 hours a day and come home and eat meat and drink wine and, I mean, whatever. And the thing is, we are soft, man.
It's not a good, it's a good time to attack us.
It sure is. But you know what? A lot of the other countries are soft. The world is soft. I mean, there's who's the big tough country?
Well, you know, good point. You think Russia, but their people aren't. They're fleeing for the borders. They don't want to be a part of Putin's army.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's the pride?
It's I went to, this really hit me a few years ago. I went to Dollywood.
Nice.
It's like Myrtle Beach in the mountains.
I love it.
And we're at the park, and my wife, some families from Dallas, and the kids, and I almost got run over about 100 times by, now, I probably can't say this.
You mean one of the carts? The carts.
The carts.
Yeah, I got...
The carts.
I got nicked in the Achilles by a cart.
And I never saw so many carts in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's... So the diet, lack of exercise leads into medical issues, higher premiums.
Right.
You know, it's just a vicious cycle.
Right.
And to me, like, we grew up with Jack LaLanne on TV.
Jack LaLanne, that's right.
Right.
He had the unitard on.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was very, very
svelte.
Form-fitting.
It was form-fitting. But, it was like, okay, you want to arm wrestle, you want to run.
Oh, gosh.
Like, everything was an athletic competition to some degree. Mm-hmm. And now there's not as much pride in just being in somewhat decent shape.
When you were in school, did you ever have the ropes?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't do the ropes worth a flip.
The
and the pegboard?
The ropes and the pegboard.
Couldn't do it.
I'm telling you.
Little guys were good. Like
me.
I didn't want to say that.
I mean, I'm a little relative to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Let me tell you something. The ropes, this is how far back I can go. This is the 70s. So safety was not paramount.
Right.
That we had the ropes, and these were not little ropes. These were not clotheslines.
They went to the ceiling,
they were
5 inches around.
They're the things that, like, you pull the ship to the to the pier.
The Titanic.
Exactly. We had ropes in our PE class, gym. That's what we called it, right?
So
we
speaking
had the,
of gym.
Speaking of gym, we had the ropes, and do you know what they had underneath the ropes?
Nothing.
Wrestling mats.
Oh, yeah, those thin ones with the little, the gray ones.
And when you go up 19 feet, no helmet.
Right.
No, you're not like strapped on there like,
no.
Like emergency 51
and
rescuing
you get
somebody.
Rug burned between your legs. I mean, carpet, rope burn between your legs. No?
No, because I climbed.
When you slide down, you didn't get rope burn?
Who slid down?
How'd you get down?
Climbed down.
You climb? Do you climb down?
I went.
Do you
up,
climb down?
Down?
Is there a thing? Hands climb
go,
down?
Hand,
is that
hands? Well, what am I going to do? Rappel?
Rappel?
I can't rappel.
You
I'm not on
rappel.
The side of a mountain.
Climb down. Climb down from there. You climb down from a tree. Do you climb down from a rope?
And the pegboards were amazing.
I couldn't do any of those things.
You know who could do that stuff? Wrestlers. Wrestlers, man.
Little guys could do that stuff. Yeah, I could. I couldn't do that. I could run.
I want to put a pegboard at my house now. I want to, like, build a pegboard. Because
really?
you'll get super strong. Super strong.
Yeah, could you? You got to get started, though. Like,
you got to.
You got to cheat. You got to put your feet on the wall. Your wife wouldn't like it. She wouldn't go for it. It would ruin the wall.
Well, they got climbing walls now, right? You can go up. You can do the climbing thing.
Yeah,
you put
and
the
you climb down.
Chalks on your hands.
Yeah, I guess you do climb down.
What you do is usually, my understanding of the climbing wall is you go all the way to the top of the wall. Then you rotate 180 degrees and climb down.
Like head first? Yeah. It's like Bugs Bunny when the plane's getting ready to crash and it runs out of gas.
Correct.
5 feet from the ground, they jump out.
Correct. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. We need a WBT pegboard to climb.
I ain't climbing it.
We're going to do it. American Ninja. Boomer Von Cannon. Climbing the ropes.
Yes.
I think they were teaching us all how to be jewelry thieves. Go up the side of the house. Just read the obituaries and what date the funeral is. That's when you rob the house. All right, Boomer Von Cannon on the roads. In memory of Coolio, who passed away, 59 years old. 59. Remember this movie with Michelle Pfeiffer? Big movie. 90s.
I don't.
Oh, boy. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Let's grab a couple of these calls. Let's talk to Benny first up. Benny, welcome to the show. Hello, Benny.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, what's on your mind, sir?
Well... getting to what y'all are talking about as far as exercise and the military is not going to be able to fill the ranks.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell my age here. When John F. Kennedy was president, he instituted a program in all the schools where you had mandatory physical fitness.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, shoot, it was a break. We'd go outside for an hour and play dodgeball, Red Rover, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
When I got to junior high school,
mm-hmm.
you had to have physical fitness once every, I guess it was every semester, but you did it all year round. Came out pretty physically fit, I guess.
Yes.
I don't think we can make that happen nowadays because of all the libertards that we got floating around.
Wow. I mean, I don't know that we got to call them libertards. I mean, that's not really the way to go. But, you know, you do have a lot of people that are they're opting out of the PE these days. I mean, they don't do the PE stuff. And a lot of times the kids aren't playing like we played as kids.
You don't go outside and figure it out.
Exactly.
You don't go outside and figure it out. I mean, that was one of the great things about growing up in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I do see it in my old neighborhood in Mooresville, where a lot of kids out in the street, and yep. you got to figure it out. And who's the leader? Who's the follower?
Right.
What game are we going to play? What are the rules of engagement?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of growing up, where kids have to, and I talk about playing pickup ball in a park in New York. You know, you get to the park, and if you and I were the best players, they would have to have some self-awareness.
Exactly.
Like, okay, we're the best players, and you got TJ and Tommy here, and it'd be like, okay, you and I choose sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you know, you win, you get first pick.
Right.
And then I get the next pick. Or we start negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about how to negotiate, how to communicate, how to take a lead.
That's right.
All right, you got first pick, I get next two.
Right.
So we start to argue that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I get next two. And then all of a sudden, there's 11 players, and little Johnny doesn't get picked.
Right.
Well, little Johnny then has three choices. He could quit, he could play the victim, or he can embrace it and try to get better.
Right.
But now his peers have told him, you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So figure it out.
Right. You want to join the team here, you got to do it. You got to earn it.
Yeah. And you know, and mom's not going to come up and tell the boy, you know, the kids. Now, if it's a coach now, everything now is run by adults. So the coaches now, you know, the players are not getting playing time due to peers.
Right. Right.
So now it's the coach's fault. So the players, you know, a kid who's not playing could complain, and the other players say, yeah, you should be playing, even though they probably don't believe that. So then the kid goes home and complains to mom and dad complained to the coach
right.
or the principal.
Right.
As opposed to, okay, nobody on the team thinks your son should be playing more than 2 minutes in a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality. So I think that we've lost that, where everyone feels, again, you know, we've heard this, everyone should get a trophy. No, everyone shouldn't get a trophy.
Would you feel comfortable coaching an everybody plays team?
I did it about a week ago.
Did you like it?
No.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Right.
Oh, no. No. I like to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, winning's good.
I'm with you 100% right there. I mean, you got two options. You got the Bad News Bears, or you got
right.
championship model.
Right.
I mean,
and there's lessons in that.
Of course there
is. Like, there's lessons in that.
You learn how to lose. You learn how to take a, you know, to not measure up and to work harder.
We as parents need to allow our children to fail.
Absolutely.
As long as it's not fatal.
Right.
That they learn how to fail. They learn how to deal with adversity. Because I talk a lot about adversity. You know, we talk about the book I wrote, Rebound, From Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. I give talks on adversity. And I say there's three guarantees in life: death, taxes, and adversity.
Yep.
You will face adversity.
Right.
What are you going to do? Are you going to crumble? Are you going to go look to mom and say, Mom, can you call my boss? My boss just wants to fire me, or not getting the promotion. Can you please call my boss?
Right.
No.
Can't do it.
My daughter had a problem with a coach in high school. She went and handled it. Yeah. I was so proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
She went and handled it.
Did you find it, we're due for a break, but did you find it challenging not to intervene? Like, did you kind of want to intervene maybe in some way?
I thought about it, but I wasn't going to. Yeah, okay. There was no way I was going to intervene.
Right.
No. The only time I would intervene as a parent is if it was a health or mental kind of abuse situation.
Yep.
But other than that, no. I was never got involved with the issues of playing time with my kids.
That's good. That's, yeah.
You deal with it.
You have to learn those lessons.
You're going to want to rave from me, boss? I'm not calling your boss to say give Tucker a raise. No, you've got to man up and be able to communicate with your boss.
Huge stuff. Great to have you back in the room, Coach. 704-570-1110 News Talk 1110 993 WBT. And Erickson's got a look at the headline. And for the folks in South Carolina, this is the alert coming out from NWS Charleston. Life-threatening storm surge possible. The potential for 4 to 7 feet above ground somewhere within the surge-prone areas. Window of concern Thursday through Saturday morning. You want to stay tuned to all the updates that are out there. That's a serious amount of water coming in. Holy cow.
Yeah, and the ladies at The View are blaming it on DeSantis.
Yeah, isn't that something? Isn't that incredible?
It was. They're so embarrassing. Yeah, it's because of his beliefs in, political beliefs and,
right.
and how he, and that's why they're getting hit with the hurricane.
And that's the problem. See, they believe that there's like some kind of weird punishment that you get with weather.
Yeah.
It's called weather.
Yeah, because he doesn't believe in,
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, Coach. Let's expand the field of conversation here in addition to what it is that we have been hitting so far. Did you hear Vice President Harris's statement earlier today?
No, I did hear her talking about I have a new stat. Can I come
Please.
Up with this metric?
Let's do the metric.
Can
Go
I,
ahead.
Can I?
Let's do it.
I come up with a new metric. Metrics are important in sports and in business. A lot of people call them KPIs, key performance indexes. I have a new metric. And one of the metrics that came up for politicians is the words to substance ratio. And she is at an all-time high. I think she set the record on her talk in Korea.
Yes.
She went on for about 10 minutes using various words, but there was no substance, zero substance. And so I think she's set the record, Kamala Harris.
Well, sort of. She changed our policy entirely. Did you notice?
Did she really?
Oh yeah, you got the Kamala Harris clip. This is Vice President Kamala Harris totally resetting our relationship with our allies there in North Asia. Very, very interesting take here.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea, and it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
You didn't know that we were allied with the Republic of North Korea?
I only thought Dennis Rodman was. That came out of her mouth? She
said it was her speech.
The biggest... Can I do my rant?
Go, please, okay. Let's hear it.
We need to get Biden off the stage.
Well,
he's embarrassing our country. Okay, at a conference on hunger, nutrition, and health, he asks, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here, he said. Problem is, Jackie was dead. He was referring to Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, who died in August. Mm-hmm. Then, at a press conference, he says, the key to getting prepared for the hurricane is, wait for it, getting vaccinated. You must get vaccinated.
That's how you prepare.
That's how you prepare. It's not getting batteries. It's not getting water. Mm-hmm. It's not driving inland. It's not, it's not taking cover. It's getting vaccinated.
Right.
Now, Kamala Harris, she too needs to get off the stage because of her comments like that, that came out of her mouth. Like, we have an alliance with North Korea? What?
A deep alliance with the Republic of North Korea, which is...
Now, you remember the Gong Show?
Yes, of course.
Like, let's gong their asses off the stage.
Oh, gong. You can't gong them. You're going to gong them?
Let's gong them.
Like the unknown comic? He used to come out with the paper bag on his head?
Yeah, yeah.
That was always great stuff. This is good because we do have some of this sound, Coach. I think you'll enjoy this sound. Here is President Biden searching desperately, cut 28, for Jackie Walorski last.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality.
Now, when he was the question was raised about, well, what's this president doing? What's he saying? Karine Jean-Pierre came out and said that well, this is cut number 29, explaining it.
She was on top of mind. This wasn't what we were able to witness today and what the president was able to lift up in this at this conference, at this event, was how her focus on wanting to.
They just make it worse. Like when you make a mistake, the best thing she could have said is he made a mistake.
Right.
Jackie deserved a lot of credit for this. You know, can you imagine being the president and having all these names you're supposed to remember?
Right.
And you get up on a stage and he was reminded that she was very a focal point in this, but that she had passed. And, you know, it's he made a mistake. End of story. But to make some excuse for him, top of mind. And then I think someone said, who's one of the Beatles? Who's
John Lennon?
John Lennon's dead. He's top of mind. I don't talk about him all the time.
Look, you get older, you get confused.
Yeah.
That sort of happens. I mean,
he's 79.
How come we don't ever see Betty White stuff on TV anymore? What happened to Betty White?
Dead.
What?
What?
She passed away? Betty White?
Huh?
Really?
What?
I didn't know that. It's top of mind for the last couple of days here. I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Well, what about Queen Elizabeth?
Well, I haven't seen her in a while.
What's she doing?
I think she's up in Balmoral. No? Oh.
Wearing funny.
Top of mind.
Top of mind.
It's all a lot of top of mind there. But this will show you, this shows you like how far people will go to, you know, kind of backstop it. Now, we could look at policies, for example, right? Let me give you a policy. I think you'll think this is interesting. This is cut number 32. Larry Summers, big economy guy, was a big economic advisor for Bill Clinton, very respected guy. You know all this inflation and stuff that we got going on here?
Oh, we do?
He said something yesterday. I think they're going to get the hook. Pull him off the stage. They're going to be like, we can't have you ever again say this. But he's speaking the truth because inflation was top of mind for him. Cut 32.
We basically had inflation under control for 40 years, despite the fact that the price of oil fluctuated, despite the fact that there were all kinds of supply shocks. We lost the thread along with many other countries about a year and a half ago with massively expansionary policies relative to the size of the GDP gap. The fiscal stimulus was five times as large as it had been during the financial crisis.
Joe Biden is pumping all this money into the system,
yeah.
And it created a crisis.
He lost the thread. He lost his mind. Wow. Well, we said this when he was in the process of running. He's a puppet. And you think of, like, my wife and I talk about, like, you know, it's a shame that his family lets him stand. Like, it's like somebody in a ring getting, like, the referee needs to stop the fight. But nobody wants to stop the fight.
Well,
because they all are using him.
There's a reason why you can't stop the fight. There's a reason why you can't stop the fight. Because of this. This is why you can't stop the fight. 31. You can't stop the fight because of cut 31.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
News Talk 1110 99.
The bench is weak.
WBT. That was you know who hit that, you know who hit that gong show right there? That was JP Morgan, man. That's who hit that gong. Remember the race car driver? JP Morgan. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Let's grab a couple calls here, Coach, shall we? Yeah. This is Jim. Jim is up next. Jim, welcome to the program, Jim.
First and foremost, I just want to say all the prayers going out to everybody on the Eastern Seaboard experiencing the wrath of Mother Nature today.
Very kind. Very kind of you to say that.
And second, to Coach, RTCP, respect, trust, cupcakes and pride.
There we go. Kind of close. Respect, trust, commitment, and positivity. But, you know, cupcakes are good sometimes.
Oh, it's commitment. Yeah. Oh, well,
you ever have the bundt cakes? You ever have the bundt cakes?
Cupcakes.
Yeah. Jim, it's good to hear your voice. I hadn't. We haven't connected in a few weeks now.
Yeah, I missed you.
Yeah, me too. I miss me too.
On, like a couple times, ready to all spun up, ready to talk to Coach and make my cupcake joke, and you weren't there.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. You had some wonderful reasons for doing what you did.
Yeah, well, Brett was out of town last week, and I was tied up the week before. So, anyway, how are you doing? What do you got here? What's on top of mind besides Jackie?
Yes, I have top of mind that I have a hypothesis about what you were talking about how children, kids, and how do we get them back to a more tactile environment?
Yes.
Where they're, yes. Okay, well, I have a hypothesis. Kids used to have to inherently be out 4 a.m, slopping the hogs, hay for the horses, getting the eggs from the chickens. Back in the last century, even the early part of the century, then post-World War II, Industrial Revolution, the conveniences and the Spartan and insulated environment of the American family household, the demand was that anybody that was peripheral to the maintenance of the inside of the house goes outside. So mother was always saying, get out. Go somewhere. Go outside. And that was good. And that was healthy. And what happened is this. The advent of COVID, basically, this was the invitation for the globalists, the communists, to say, okay, warehouse our children. Warehouse the kids until we're ready to have our education system brainwash them. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. And that's what we have to get kids to do is go outside again. Go out. Work on your car. Get some chickens, buy a horse, do something that has a tactile environment attached to it that makes children have to feel the soil under their feet, feel the breath going through their lungs.
Mm-hmm. Where I grew up, you just didn't go out and buy a horse, Jim.
You could bet the horses.
Oh, you could bet the horses for sure.
You went to the basketball court at 8 years old. You challenged anybody and everybody to a game.
Here, this is the 60-year-old man. When I was a kid, we'd go out, and there was no cell phones. My dad, Big Walt, would come out on the back stoop at about 6 o'clock and whistle. And his whistle could carry a good 2 to 4 blocks.
Wow.
And we'd hear the whistle, and we'd say, got to go home for dinner. And we'd run home or get on our bikes and ride. And it was just a great way to grow up, you know. And
would you then go out after dinner and play more?
In the summer. Mm-hmm. In the summertime.
Yeah.
Not during a school year. During a school year, then I'd do the homework.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
we had a belt.
You had a belt?
You had a belt?
Yeah, my dad had a belt. Plus, but he could whistle really, really loud, too.
Wait, so. Did you say he had a bell or a belt?
Oh, he had a belt, too. So if you didn't hear the bell, you got the belt.
Jeez.
Absolutely. We did have a belt.
Wow.
No question.
All right.
Yes, there was 5 of us, so he had to have a pretty robust
That was very insightful, Jim. I appreciate you calling in today.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're amazing. So he had a bell and a belt. If you didn't respond to the bell, you got the belt.
Yeah, you got the belt.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah,
Come on, what are we doing? Terry, welcome to the show. Terry, what's going on, sir?
Hey, Brett. Thanks for taking my call again.
Always. Always happy to do it.
And hey, Case Doherty, great to speak to you again. It's been a while since I talked to you.
It's been a little bit of a while, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I just have a comment. I sort of feel sorry for some of the kids today. I was in high school from 1969 to 1973, and a man named Al Kapp was my PE teacher at Sun Valley High School here in Union County, and we had to run a mile every day, and it was hard because he timed us. he was a bad coach, and Coach Richards was the basketball coach, and he made us run baseline to baseline and mix it up with a foul line to foul line and then a sidestep from one side of the court to the other side of the court.
Wow.
As fast as we could. And it was so hard, I threw up a couple of times. But we did not have electronics back then, mm-hmm. like kids did today.
Yeah, well,
when I graduated, I was 6'2" and 160 pounds of lean me. And ate anything I wanted.
Look at that.
But I miss the discipline of those men, what they instilled in me. And I'm still 16. I don't weigh 160 pounds anymore. But,
Terry, how did it make you feel by being forced to run? And maybe were you... I gather by your tone and you weren't maybe the best runner in school. So how did you feel when you were forced to do something that you didn't like and or weren't great at?
I ran the mile in a little under 6 minutes.
Oh gosh, that's pretty darn good.
That's fast.
How did other people do? Like people that?
Oh, I stuck it out there playing, and I played basketball. But what I was trying to say was the men that instilled that in me, inspired it in me. Mm-hmm. And I played basketball until I was in my 40s.
In
church league.
Well, that's so good. That's good. You were a heck of an athlete then. If you ran a mile under 6 in high school, that's pretty darn impressive.
That's awesome, Terry. We appreciate you being there.
I ain't bragging on myself. I'm just telling
you. No, you kind of bragged on yourself, Terry. You kind of boasting. Don't throw your shoulder out patting on your back.
Woo!
Okay, I'll leave you there.
All right, Terry, we appreciate you being out there, man. It's a great show so far. We've got an hour that we could potentially kill it, but I'm optimistic moving forward here. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Riders on the storm. It is the Brett Winterbull Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty, in the studio. Our telephone number, you may want to write this down for future use, 704-570-1110.
What's that? Can you go slower?
704.
You told me to write it down.
570-1110.
Okay.
It is a pleasure to be here with you and me. Bob, reaching out to us, says, tell Jim this farm boy says amen about getting all the mud and the dirt on you as a kid.
That's right.
It's important to get out there and, blow the stink off of you sometimes. 704-570-1110 is the number. We've covered a lot of stuff so far today, including, of course, the fact that the military age young people are by a number of 77%, young Americans would not qualify for military service.
There's going to be a draft.
Who are they going to draft? Future. I mean, who are they going to draft?
Well, they draft them, and they're going to whip their butts into shape. Yes, going to have to. We got to have bodies.
But then you're going to have people that are going to opt out. They're going to say, no, I don't want to be drafted. I choose not to. I mean.
Well, how about this? Adios.
Mm-hmm.
Go find another country.
You mean like you get put in the Gray Bar Hotel? I mean, is that what happens?
Yeah.
Go to Leavenworth, make big rocks and the little rocks?
Yeah.
This is a serious challenge, and we're dealing with this. We're also dealing with this hurricane. Fort Myers took a hit and a half here, man.
It looked like a river going down downtown Fort Myers.
Yep.
It was amazing to see that, especially on the Gulf side.
That's right.
I've never seen it like that on the Gulf side. Have you?
And I have not. Absolutely. And in the last few hours, we've been watching these wind gusts that are coming here where we are at the studio. And I'm curious if you want to check in within the sound of our voice. And this is a signal that carries quite far. We'd like to hear, you know, what the conditions are where you are. Are you getting wind? Are you preparing for this? Are you concerned about this? Are you worried about this? 704-570-1110. I do know what South Carolina is playing. South Carolina State tonight in Columbia. They moved the game up to tonight because of the impending storms. But it's really incredible, Coach, when you look at the size of this storm.
Yes.
I mean, this is like 1,000 miles in length, this front and everything that's coming up here. It's incredible to see the amount of power that Mother Nature is bringing.
Have you ever dealt with a hurricane before?
When I was young, we lived on the East Coast. Obviously, we didn't have them in the desert. And on the West Coast, you don't really have them, obviously. The water's too cold. But we've been through some of them, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's really quite... The weirdest weather phenomenon I ever saw in my life, personally experienced in my life, was a tremendous blizzard in New York City. It would have been like probably 1996 or 7, and it was thunder snowing. There was thunder and lightning going off outside while it was snowing. It was a very, very odd weather event. That's about the weirdest one. I don't like the potential damage that water can do. Water is a very underrated...
100%
danger. People take it as, they don't take it as seriously as you would like lightning or fires or things like that. But man, water is unbelievable.
Yeah, water. You're right. Water is scary because the wind can come and go unless it hovers, which is very rare. But that could be very damaging. But the water lingers and it creates a lot of problems. I dealt with a hurricane in Florida, I want to say Francis, and we got there, and my kids are coming home from school talking about categories and fours and fives. I'm like, what is that? And realized, it was talking about hurricanes, and Boca Raton got hit, and we had to go to a friend's house in Jupiter. They had the storm windows, like literally storm windows, where the metal piece comes down and you go inside. And I remember going outside to stand in the eye of the hurricane, which was really kind of weird. It was very peaceful, very calm. But when you inside and it hit, it sounded like a freight train running through your living room.
It's the damage we're seeing is incredible. They're talking about hundreds of deaths. In fact, let's pull a Buddy up here real quick, because Buddy says you left Fort Myers on Tuesday, but your 90-year-old dad stayed behind. Buddy, tell us about it.
I used to work for the airline. I'm retired now, and I saw this storm coming. And I told my wife, I said, we better not fly down. If you want to go, let's drive down. So we did Friday, had a great birthday party, and we left Tuesday, and I said, Daddy, do you want to go with me? He said, Buddy, I'm 90 years old. What the hell's going to happen to me? And he's lost power, lost water, and he said it was a rough one. Most of the pools, the chairs are in the pool, and a couple tiles off the house. But now his friend, Joanne, that came over and stayed with him, because she's closer to the water.
Right.
They got 6 feet of water. They can't even get to their house.
Wow.
And her son, the whole house and the boat are gone.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible.
And the funniest thing about this, he pulled in his awning there at the back, and it does face southwest. And that's why the worst... the backside of this storm really concerned him, because that glass was shaking.
Wow.
And he said, Buddy, he said, I pulled that awning in. And I said, yes, sir. He said, but I forgot to take that whirly bird gig that gets in the wind and goes around and around. And I said, well, where is it?
He said, the last time I saw it, it was heading to Mexico City.
Great stuff. Buddy, we appreciate you checking in, and all the best to your dad, man. That's an awesome report. I appreciate you being there.
And listen, what he told me and what we're going to get tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
That's just a light shower.
It's just a light shower.
Yeah.
You know what? You and your dad are the call of the day. You know what I'm saying, buddy?
Hello.
Yo, guys, how you doing?
Congratulations. You're the caller of the day. Brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
We love you too, man. Appreciate you being out there, buddy. See that? It's on its way to Mexico City.
I think Buddy's dad had some other motivation to stay put. Hurricane Joanne. You know what I'm saying?
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. And this is my favorite time of the week when we welcome onto the program Beth Troutman.
Hey, how are you this evening? Hey, coach, I'm so excited that I get to talk to you again.
Yeah, Beth, I like this so much better than who's the other guy that
that would be Bo Thompson.
I'd rather cross the street with Beth.
Yeah, it's a weird one to say when it's me, right?
Yeah, I think so. Just I have a vision that's...
He just called it crossing the street.
Yeah, with Beth. Yeah, I like that. Sounds better. Yeah,
that does sound better because it sounds like you're a gentleman.
Right. I've got my arm out. I'm looking both ways. And if there was a puddle, I'd lay my jacket down for you.
Look at this.
Exactly. You're crossing the street with me. I appreciate that. Yeah.
This is outstanding. Beth, it is good to be with you here, and I'd be remiss if we didn't mention, obviously, we're watching very closely what's going to happen in the next day and a half or so with this hurricane-type activity, this tropical storm activity. Your level of concern on a 1 to 10, what are you thinking about this?
Well, you know, I just read a report that was updated about 5 minutes ago that came out of the Washington Post that as this goes out over the Atlantic, they do expect it to gain more strength and to hit the coast of South Carolina as a Category 1 hurricane. And, of course, people in South Carolina and North Carolina, we've all endured several hurricanes throughout. I know that I've been through a few in my lifetime alone. The concern always with these, especially if it's coming in as a Category 1, is the fact that this one's moving pretty slowly, and that means a lot of moisture. That means a lot of rain. And some of the problems that we've seen, you know, back in 2015 when we had all of that flooding in Colombia, that was basically a tropical depression just dropping a lot of rain, a lot of water on an area just over a short period of time, but a lot of water at once. But you know, given that here in Charlotte right now, that it doesn't look like we're going to get a ton of rain, and that some of the rain, I pay a ton of attention to Brad Panovich, could be like a 60% chance that we get a ton at one moment, and then there's some scattered showers. But these things always change, especially as they gain strength over the ocean. But I'm always one to be prepared and to have flashlights and candles and some extra water and that kind of thing, just in case power goes out, just in case. You need a little, and you know, have enough propane for the grill.
That's exactly right. That's vitally important. You can do all your cooking outside if you have to, as opposed to, you know, if you don't have power in the house. All right. So I you know, earlier this week, I was vociferous about the asteroid shoot-down thing. Remember?
Yeah, it was my favorite conversation possibly that I've ever had ever.
Holy cow. Well, that's quite something. Okay, I got a new thing, though, that's got me even more freaked out. This is worse than NyQuil chicken. This is worse than anything that I've come across in a long time because it's got a word in it that just strikes fear into the heart of my heart, and it's this. A fisherman has caught a piranha in a North Carolina lake. Okay, this puts me on the Richter scale here, okay? A fisherman caught a piranha in a North Carolina lake. The fish was caught in Aberdeen Lake in Moore County, 70 miles southwest of Raleigh, according to a post on a Facebook page. This is a piranha. Piranhas, he's got teeth. I mean, these things have big old jagged teeth. I will take asteroidal catastrophe all day. I am literally never swimming in another lake for the rest of my life because it's the potential for piranhas.
Well, I will tell you why this strikes so much fear in our hearts. I mean, we're all around the same age.
Yes.
You remember that 1978 movie, yeah. Piranha?
Oh, gosh, yes, it's terrible. Oh, you put your hand in, and all of a sudden it's just taking you down to Chinatown. I mean, it's over. You're done. It's over.
Oh, it's terrifying. Gosh. So I have those images in my head. When I saw this story, that's the first thing I thought about was that movie that just put fear in my heart when I was a young child.
Yes.
But the post was on the post that was on Facebook that you just alluded to was from the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission. And so here's what alarmed me. So they said, and this is reading the actual post, many of our followers have sent us this photo of a piranha that was reportedly caught in Aberdeen Lake in Moore County.
Mm-hmm.
The fish was likely kept as a pet that outgrew its tank and then was just tossed into the lake by its owners.
Oh, no. No.
That's what freaks me out. And they do remind in the post, further down in the post, they say, as a reminder, North Carolina Administrative Code states that it is unlawful to transport, purchase, possess, sell, or stock piranha in the state's public or private waters. Now, they are also claiming that this probably hasn't necessarily, if this was a pet that was just tossed into the water, that it hasn't necessarily reproduced or created piranha families, and there are a ton of piranha. But here's my thought on this, though. I mean, if there was only one piranha in that lake, what's the likelihood that this fisherman was going to catch it?
Yes. See, I'm with you on that. That's right. It could have spawned. You could have piranhas everywhere now.
Would that
plural? If this guy had a piranha pet, maybe he had two piranha pets, and it's a husband and wife. Ooh. And they're just now having a piranha baby.
That's right.
Plural of piranha, piranhae?
I think it's piranhas.
Okay.
I think it's I think it's piranha.
I'm gonna Google that.
But then there's this. So let me compound to the potential fear here, okay? Just in the last couple of days, a massive catfish was caught in northwest Tennessee that could set a new record. Micah Burkhart reeled in a 118-pound, 7-ounce monster blue catfish fishing on the Cumberland River in Stewart County. I don't like what's going on in our waterways here. We've got piranhas and superfish.
Yeah.
This is not good.
I'm not a fan of catfish nor gar. Have you ever seen the gar?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you brought that up, Coach Doherty. We had a whole conversation on Good Morning BT a few months ago about gar because Bo and I were not particularly familiar with gar.
Oh,
they're
man.
Everywhere. They're in Lake Wiley. They're in Lake Norman. And they have teeth.
Oh. They look like, I think that's why they call them, I may be wrong, gar, but alligator. They look like an alligator.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there is an alligator gar, like one of the species
yes. yep.
alligator gar. I think yeah. they call them gar because it's like onomatopoetic. It's like, gar, I'm scared.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know what? That's a really good point. So if we have the right kind of wind, we could have all kinds of fish co-populating and going between lakes and whatnot. I don't like this. I got a whole new reason to panic now. I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to sleep in my hip waders in the hopes that I'll be protected from God knows what coming up out of the sewer lines. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Especially if we have a flooding or anything coming from this storm. But there are huge catfish, by the way, in Lake Norman.
See, I don't like this. I don't like.
I don't know if you've ever noodled and stuck here. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, no. No, that's the worst. Who would ever do that?
I would rather snake my toilet with my hand than go put my hand up in catfish junk.
That is nasty.
No, that's wrong.
If you put it in the junk, you're doing it wrong.
Did you do it, Beth? Have you
didn't do that,
have
did you?
You noodled catfish?
What?
Well, I have attempted, but I've never been successful.
Oh, that's no good.
Just for fun, waded into
fun. Fun, like
waded into the water to attempt it.
No,
did you? Was this like what? When did you do this? Were you all going on a date, or let's have fun? I mean, I know you've. Is this what
I was? It was one of those moments in a broadcasting career where you are brought in to MC an event, and then you just go with the flow, and you just hop in.
No. Not without. I'm going in there with a spear gun and a stick of dynamite, man. I mean, that's it. This is
like Bill Murray in the pool.
I don't like nature. I like the desert.
I'm so excited that Matt thought it was a date.
Well, you're from. You know, I know where you're from.
Wait a minute.
You know, I know where you're from.
That's right. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same place your wife is.
I know. That's why I said it.
All right, Beth. You are a great American. What do you got coming up on the big show? I think I can guess what the topic's going to be tomorrow, but what do we got coming up?
Well, I think we'll definitely cover gar, piranha, and catfish at any given moment. But tomorrow we'll be covering, of course, the latest with Hurricane Ian, especially if it is a Category 1 hurricane coming toward the coast of South Carolina. We'll have Ray Stajic from the Weather Channel on to give us the latest updates. And, of course, all of the fun news headlines, the serious news headlines, entertainment, pop culture, everything you need to know.
Get your podcasts.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterbull alongside the coach, Matt Doherty. We got people on hold. And, you know, any moment here, we could have heavy winds and rain. We better get the calls while we can.
Yeah, let's do it.
People are getting to and fro. Stan is up first. Hello, Stan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Brett. How are you doing today?
Doing great, thank you.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I was my senior year in high school, because I lived in a single-parent family at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school. And I went to a private school, so I made good grades. But I had a paper out in the morning. Me and my brother did that to help make ends meet for the family.
Sure.
I bagged groceries 3 nights a week at a grocery store, and I lettered in 4 sports, wow. Tennis, soccer, basketball, and baseball.
Wow.
Now, it was difficult, and I didn't like and in some part, I was happy at times, but for the most part, I didn't really like that life at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now, and those were some of the best times of my life. I have coaches that I can tell you that had a big effect on my life. And I learned there's one thing that you should not tell kids. When they show a passion for something,
mm-hmm.
do not tell them they can't, because they will assume it's a slam against them personally, and then they end up not trying. Help your kids pursue their passion.
That's big.
Coach, how would you have felt if your dad said, oh, you'll never be a basketball player, put that down? You know, you wouldn't be where you are today.
That would be devastating.
Yeah,
that would be devastating.
There are a lot of parents. There are a lot of parents who do that, and there's a term that we have now in our society called at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell kids they're at risk, they almost look at it as like that's an overcomable challenge, and they accept a mediocre life. I think kids need a challenge in life. They don't need to look at stuff as obstacles. They need to look at it as challenges. And I think if you did that, kids would have a passion for what they want to do, and you would see kids succeed more.
That's huge.
Yeah, 100%. I think you got to encourage kids, give them confidence, and let them fail on their own. You know, and you just might be surprised. Sometimes you might think, well, my kid's too small to play basketball, and he goes out there and turns out to be Muggsy Bogues.
Correct. That's right. Yeah, there's so many people like that. I mean, what if a lot of musicians that we hear about, their parents have said, no, most musicians end up sleeping on a pool table in a bar in their life. That's okay, because then you have good music too.
Yep.
And you can't have that without the other.
And look, and the fact of the matter is, if you're sleeping on a pool table at 19 or 21, that's much different than if you're sleeping on a pool table at 45. I mean,
that is correct.
You know, you got those early years to kind of work out the scratches and the dents. I mean, great stuff, Stan. I appreciate that story, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brett. Take care now.
You got it, buddy. That's a hugely important thing. You know, my wife's a teacher, and so what I've heard for a lot of years of teaching is the unbelievable wreckage that can be created by a helicopter parent that wants to wrap the kid in bubble wrap and not let them ever have the experience of coming up short.
Got to expose them to adversity.
Correct.
And be there to catch them when they fail,
mm-hmm.
and help them understand that it's not fatal. That is some of the best lessons that people will learn, kids will learn,
yep.
that they can take on to adulthood. You have to teach them how to deal with adversity. And we've, as you said, bubble wrapped so many kids that they're so fragile that when they do meet failure in their 20s or whatever,
right.
they don't know how to handle it.
And then you will see people who end up having a complete freak out
oh, yeah.
when they're 45. Because,
that's right.
Because they've never been able to do that thing
that, mm-hmm.
that they wanted to do. Wayne. Welcome to the show, Wayne. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you are.
Thanks for calling in today. We appreciate you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Wayne. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I wanted to touch base on the piranha.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Uh, As a college-age man, I had an aquarium, and I had a fish called a pacu.
P-A-C-U.
Mm-hmm. And it is the first cousin of a piranha. They look identical without the teeth. Now they do have smaller teeth, but nothing like the teeth of a piranha. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if this story it ends up being a pacu, because you can go get a pacu at any accredited aquarium store, and my pacu was Charlie the pacu, and I had him for 8 years.
Wow!
And he eventually passed away. But I just wanted to touch base because a pacu looks identical to piranha.
This one, Wayne, I'm looking at the article. Chad Ray of Aberdeen holds the piranha fish that was caught in Aberdeen Lake. It has teeth. It's called red-bellied piranha.
A red-bellied piranha?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My pacu had the it wasn't quite red. It was kind of orangish. But, man, if that really is a piranha, that's that is Brett, I agree with you, man. I'm never going to step foot in the lake again.
Heck no. I don't need to get chewed up like that. Appreciate you being out there, Wayne. Thank you, and best to the pacus.
All right, yeah.
You got it, buddy. That's pacus. Pacu sounds like it's like a game you could play, like on a table with like some dice and a cup. Pacu.
I'm learning through experience. I'm just going to pass on any
learning
comments.
Learn
and grow.
Learn and grow.
Yeah, just I'm not going to touch.
Boom,
the
Boomer Von Cannon. I mean, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Mark Garrison is the host of Charlotte at 6, and I suspect I can guess at least what the big topic is going to be with Mark Garrison. The coach Matt Doherty is here as well. Good, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Maybe we don't got him. Maybe he's probably working the hurricane stuff, right? Yeah, that's probably what it is. Okay. All right. Well, listen to Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. He's going to get you all the updates on the hurricanes and the things that you need to know, because there's a lot of important stuff out there, Coach. We want to take a couple more calls?
Yes.
What do you say we talk to Kelly? Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hello.
I hope you guys are having an awesome Thursday.
Yes. Very awesome.
I was actually calling to talk about the fish.
Oh, the gar?
But I do want to, yes, the gar, but I wanted to make a comment to one of your last callers. I'm a teacher and have been a coach for 15 years. And I've had to cover up a lot of the damage that I've seen happen to kids over the years. So it's nice to hear that people recognize that there are good teachers and good coaches out there, and it takes a special person to do it. But I love it.
Amen.
Hey, Kelly, my sisters, two of them, taught and coached. And when you look back on the impact that people make in the lives of young people, sometimes biggest impacts come from teachers and coaches.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the only reason I keep with it.
Yeah.
I love my children that I teach. And, yes, it's been hard the last couple of years, but knowing that I can make a difference with them, it means all the world.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So the fish, back to the important thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to give an announcement for the gar. Mm-hmm. I've grown up on Lake Norman. I'll be 38 tomorrow, so.
Happy birthday early.
Thank you. Yeah, the hurricane, I get a day off from schools. they have already canceled it for us tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's nice. But I've grown up on the lake, and the gar are our friends.
Really?
It's actually a good sign to have gar in your cove, because it shows that you have a really good environment. It's a healthy environment with fish and turtles and everything else. Mm-hmm. And they don't bite. They're more afraid of humans than we should be of them.
Ah.
And if you catch one on a fishing line, don't try to think that it'll die in your boat. They can live out of water for 20 minutes.
Wow.
So you might want to cut them off and let them go.
I had one. I was canoe. I have a fishing canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought I caught like the biggest bass in the world. And it took it forever to come up. It came up and it dragged my boat all over the cove.
Whoa.
And finally, yeah. I just cut the line. I said, I'm done. I don't want to even touch
it. You have to. It's a battle, and they don't stop.
Wow.
Yeah.
but okay. They don't like to bother you.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to see at the beginning of summer, when the water is just starting to get warm on top, you can see probably 15 or 20 out there just laying in the sunny water. We have some that are probably 4 to 5 feet long.
Oh, my God.
Now, yeah. Kelly, do you swim in that cove? Kelly, do you swim in that cove?
I do.
Oh, my God.
Right beside of them.
Oh, my gosh. Do you hold their fins and let them, like, take you around like Flipper?
They're so timid. Like, as soon as they hear a motor in the cove, they're gone.
Really?
Like, they go hide, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
This is why I will only swim in swimming pools or bathtubs, because I'm afraid of what I'm afraid I'm going to get got. They're going to get
nastier than lake.
I'm going to get got by a gar. I'm going to get gargot.
Yeah, you don't want to be gargot.
Look at you and run.
Okay. You are a great, great sport, Kelly. I appreciate you being out there. And again, happy birthday. I hope this storm moves by fast and you get to take a day off, because you guys work harder than anybody I know.
That's right.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Y'all be safe and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Will do. That's
thank you, Kelly.
That's I'm kind of getting my mind turned around. You were fishing. I'm sorry. You were fishing in a canoe?
No. I thought I said a kayak. Fishing.
Oh, a kayak.
Did I say canoe?
I might have heard it as.
I have a fishing kayak, and it's a kind of fun way to fish, and. And I got a gar, and it just dragged my, my
kayak
through the cove.
Wow.
And I didn't want to touch it. Like, I don't want to touch catfish either. But I love catching bass.
Are you afraid of snakes?
Don't like snakes, you know.
Yeah, see, I'm not, that whole set of deals right there.
I don't do snakes. We had one that got into our house, mm-hmm. and I kind of booted it out. I was ready to go pick it up, but
a snake.
Yeah,
yeah. You gotta be careful. Some of them are good. King snakes are good. They kill rats, but the rest of them, I don't want them around me. Keith, you get the final say, my man. Keith, welcome to the program.
How y'all doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Just listening to the everybody gets a trophy mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Their kids need to learn that there is a pecking order. In every society, it's in the animal kingdom, it's in human society. It doesn't matter what kind of rules they try to quell it with. Eventually, they're going to have to face the fact that there is a pecking order and they're going to fit in it somewhere. And I worked construction for years. I'd get 18, 19-year-olds get out of high school, and they just look at you in stunned belief that they're not in charge and you don't care what their opinion is.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
It's sad. It really is.
No, you're right.
You were talking about, we had to let a guy go one time, and he went home, and the next thing I know, his mother has called our corporate office, HR, and we had to hire him back. He lasted a day because of the crap he caught from the other guys on the job site.
Oh, my gosh.
It's sad. You're 18, 19 years old, and you think, you can't talk to me like that. It's like, oh, boy, you got a lot of learning to do.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, that is sad, Keith. What's the biggest challenge right now?
When I was in college, I kept piranha fish, red-bellied piranha fish, and an alligator gar in aquariums in my room. And if the water temperature in that tank got anywhere near about 58 degrees, they die.
Oh, wow. Oh, so come winter, these lakes, they may kill these things off.
No, you're talking about
exactly what happens.
Okay.
They die.
Gotcha.
They can't take any kind of cold water. They're from the Amazon.
Good
river
to know. Oh, that's good to know. And great call, Keith. I appreciate you being out there. Where do people go to get information on coaching, Coach?
I updated my website. Go to DaughertyCoaching.com. DaughertyCoaching.com.
DaughertyCoaching.com. Thank you to TJ, Tommy. Thank you to Anna and Boomer. Thank you to Mark Garrison, Beth Troutman, and each and every one of you. Thanks so much, Coach, for coming on. I appreciate
you. Great afternoon. Thank
you. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Doesn't it make you feel better? The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly, and everything is alright.